Welcome to the 20 Minute Runner Podcast. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner. It's good to have you along with me as I run and race through the Piedmont region of North Carolina. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me.
Hello there. This is Roland. Welcome to episode 10. It's hard to believe we've come this far. Of course, for me, 10 sounds like quite a few episodes, but then I realize, hey, I've only been doing this for 2.5 months. When you do it every week, the numbers can add up fairly quickly. But it is good to have you with me today on this run. It is July the 9th, Thursday morning. It's about 5 after 6. We've been 11 minutes, 25 seconds into this run. Temperature is 70 degrees and humid. And I can tell that the days are really beginning to have less daylight. Particularly in the mornings. When I left the house a few minutes ago, it was much darker than it is even now. However, the sky is beginning to lighten, and we're going to be light here in just good light here in a few minutes. I found during the summer, it really helps though for me to run in the morning most times. I do run occasionally in the evening. I did this past week. But generally the mornings are quite a bit more tolerable than late evenings. So this past week, ran 3 days, covered just over 20 miles. I thought it was gonna be my long week and this be the short week. But due to some things that were happening, time constraints, I had to cut that back. So this will actually be the beginning of week one. We hope to do 2 70-minute runs this week and then begin with a 90-minute run for the first of the 3 long runs. If you remember, 4-week cycle. 1 is light week, 2 70-70-90, 3 70-70-105, 4 70-70-120. So that's where we are training wise. Today's a 70-minute run, and as I said, we're now 13.5 minutes into it. But it is good to have you with me today. I was listening to some of the podcasts, and actually was listening to Run Digger Run, which is one of the 2 or 3 that I never miss. I love the way Matt presents his shows, the You Are Here segments, Flying Stories. If you've not checked it out, look up Run Digger Run. I think it might be RunDiggerRun.com. And it's a good podcast, but Matt helped me get started in this. Early on, I emailed him, and we talked quite a bit back and forth by email. This past episode, Matt was talking about, or maybe it was the episode before, but I was listening a little late after it had been put out. But anyway, he was mentioning that his wife's stepdad had passed away recently, I think within the last 2 weeks. And he also mentioned that his father who has cancer. He has decided to not pursue any more, at least chemo treatments. And so I sent an email to Matt, just letting him know that, hey, you know, I've been there, I've walked that road. My dad lived 3.5 weeks after he was diagnosed with lung cancer. And we were able to get a lot of things taken care of. That's a long story, which I've alluded to, and I won't say any more here. But if you go to the blog, I do have a link to the site, Amazon listing for the book. And if you will be interested, it's a memoir of basically a father's dying request. He and I were together during that time. I kept a journal and turned the journal into a book. It's pretty serious, of course, but also there are some funny parts. And as I look back on it now, I'm so thankful that I did that. But Matt, just want you to know that going through a parent, walking with a parent who has cancer, and the prognosis doesn't look good at all, based on what you said. I've been there. If I can be any help to you, let me know about that. So, thoughts and prayers are with Matt today, and with his family. I looked up the word champion, and what that means. And definition for champion, this is from dictionary.com, a couple of them actually. A person who has defeated all opponents in a competitive or series of competitions so as to hold first place. Or better yet, another definition, which I do like better, is a fighter or a warrior. If you run, I want to remind you that regardless of the speed, if you're out and you're getting in your miles, if you might be running even now, what are you doing now? I don't know, of course. But you are a champion. Maybe not by the first definition. Maybe you're not first place at some race, or I don't know, maybe you don't even place at a race. That's fine. But certainly, you're a fighter or a warrior. How many days have I felt like at 5:30 not getting up to run? But yet I knew that, or know rather, that there are those who cannot do that. And I decided, hey, I'm going to get up and get going. I was a little bit that way this morning. Yesterday was another one of those long days. Man, the bed felt good, but, you know, I got to do this. I've got people counting on me, and most of all, I've got me counting on me to get out and get the miles in and prepare myself for the rest of my life. You can identify with that. Whether you're taking your first step, whether you're running 50 miles a week or more, just want you to know that, hey, you are a champion. You have the heart of a champion. Someone who gets out there, someone who gets it done. Champions weather storms and find a way to overcome, because running's lessons affect all of our lives, all areas of our lives, I should say. And just because I may be running and learning lessons about that discipline, those lessons, they actually cover all of our lives. And we learn from that. People who run are a different breed, and that's good. But we take those lessons and apply them, because you tend to be a person, and me too, who pushes ourselves. You tend to be a person who probably succeeds, even if it's not somebody else's definition of success. I can pull out a chart from various businesses, give you definitions of who it is at the top, give you definitions of what they say success is. But it doesn't necessarily mean that they're successful in the sense that you might be, or in the sense that I might think of a success. But we weather those storms and define what our success looks like. Like the storm Sammy and I were in, we spoke about last week. Yeah, I was scared, but I couldn't just say, hey, you know what? I'm gonna ignore this, or I'm gonna just stop, forget it. We stopped to get our bearings and be safe. But as soon as we were able, we turned around or got up and proceeded to run again. That's what a champion does. A champion gets up, defines their success. My success is one thing, yours is another. And the third person looking at me or you is going to define success as something else entirely. Some people want to define it by numbers. Some people want to define it by your best 10K time. But for me and for you, it's defined by what I feel. Did I beat myself? Did I improve myself? Did I feel good about my effort? That's what makes a champion. And remember, as I've said many times, if you're out running or walking or doing anything like that, you're doing a lot more than most people, the vast majority of people. And that being the case, I think you're a success and you're a champion. You are a champion. Your main competition is yourself. Now, it may be others. If I'm talking to more competitive runners, I definitely don't want to say that that's not a definition of success. But we're basically competing against ourselves. What types of things do we achieve when we run? What type of things do we achieve in running that make us a better animal, as Dr. Sheehan used to say, to borrow a phrase from him? You know, there's three things basically I think that we achieve whenever we run and whenever we have that success. And I want to share, if I could, a couple of those with you right now. And these are things that you're aware of, things that you know about. And I touched on these, I think it was back in episode 5. But I want to go into more detail today. We said we wanted to revisit this. What is it that a champion receives, a person receives, who has a certain amount of discipline and gets out and lives this running life? Well, first thing I'd point out, which immediately pops in my head is, which is that's funny, pops in my head, is a better mental state. Running is just as effective as prescription drugs when it comes to treating mild to moderate depression. Now, I want you to hear that, but there's something I don't want you to hear. Don't say, hey, Roland's saying all I got to do is run, even though I've got severe mental problem and need medication. Roland's saying that all I got to do is run. No, that's not what I'm saying. I have someone in my family, a very close person, who is bipolar, manic depressive. They've been on medication for years and do quite well with it. They benefit from exercise. I wouldn't suggest to them, hey, become non-compliant with your meds. Quit taking A, B, and C. And just take up running and you'll be fine. If you're clinically depressed, you cannot necessarily do that. Now, are there people on meds who may benefit just as much from running? Yes, and that's my point. So, not being a medical doctor, I'm not saying stop your medications if you happen to be on meds for a mental or emotional situation or problem. But what I'm saying is running can benefit that. And more than that, I'm saying running can benefit the rest of us who are blessed enough to not be in that type of situation. If you suffer a little bit of depression or feel down occasionally, I just want to tell you that running can help that. And maybe you've seen the benefit. But mentally, it makes us feel better. Running not only works with mild to moderate depression in most cases, but it helps us cope with the stress of life, stresses of life. A good run just makes things better. I know that for me, I can be feeling pretty bad, and all I gotta do is go out for a run. And you know what? All of a sudden, those problems aren't quite as big as they were. All of a sudden, that situation is not as serious as it was. Do the problems go away? No. However, my perspective on those change. And I begin to feel better mentally. During those times, running also adds to my creativity. I do a lot of thinking when I'm running. You probably do too. And I can get a lot done creatively in that sense. Now, I'm not the most creative person in the world. Please don't hear me saying that. But what I'm saying is, it helps me to be creative. It drops those boundaries that are keeping me boxed in. So, running doesn't do away with all stress. Running doesn't do away with or cure clinical depression, but it helps regardless. And in my book, that's a good thing. Then there's another item that I want to mention, which is pretty obvious. Not only does running help us with our mental state, but the most obvious, I guess, it helps us with our physical state. We have more energy. Studies have proven this. I remember in the past, well, not even the past, but very recent past, some people would ask me, well, don't you get tired running that far? How do you have any energy? And you know how it is. It's when I run, I have more energy. And when you run, you have more energy. And it's weird, but it changes your energy level. Your metabolism goes up. Your body's ability to function, all those things inevitably will improve. It also gives me better sleep. I can tell if I'm missing some running, my sleep is not as good as it's been. But when I'm running, I can sleep better. And studies also have shown this. And by the way, while I don't have any studies to quote, I do want to just encourage you, especially if you're fairly new to the sport, go to the internet and, you know, Google sleep studies and running, or Google mental benefits of running, that type of thing. And you can find some of the studies that bear out these statistics. Or not statistics, but these conclusions that I'm sharing with you now. You have more stamina as well, physically. And study after study has shown this. And I think that, again, a quote from Dr. Sheehan, I'm an experiment of one. And I can tell you, if you can't find it in any book, I'm a living example that running increases a person's stamina. I can do so much more when I'm more physically fit. I can do more mentally, as I said, and I can do more physically. And you throw in some strength training, and that's just an added benefit. We have a pretty fairly heavy garden hose, and I was rolling it up a couple days ago, and the hose was on full of water, a little stiff. And I stood there, and I'm not a big guy. Matter of fact, if you go to the blog, take a look, I'm actually a small person. But the strength training I do has added more benefit physically, not just in my stamina, but in my physical strength and stamina. And as I pulled that heavy hose, I was amazed at, you know, there was a time when I would have struggled with this a bit. And I don't do anything drastic, but 2 to 3 times a week, I'll do 100 sit-ups, 50 butterflies, 50 the other way. I'll do 35 push-ups. And then I've got 2 or 3 things that I do with the ball. So, but that has helped me tremendously. Running helps in that sense. And then finally, running helps physically with the numbers, your heart rate. My mother-in-law had a pacemaker installed lately, and one of the things that she needs to do is keep her blood pressure checked. So we all decided, hey, let's all check it. So my blood pressure runs, oh, I don't know, 102 over 60. Some days it's that low or that good. I think that's pretty good. And my resting heart rate right now, the best I've had is 51. Hey, that's pretty good. If my heart's beating 51 times a minute and more efficient with each beat instead of beating 75 times a minute, well, the math would tell me that unless I die from something else, at least I've added more time to my life because of the fact that my heart, if we indeed only have X number of beats, I'm going to be using mine a little bit slower. So it helps with that. Helps with the numbers. One more thing that I want to address today. There's a third element of what it does, which is related, I think, to both of these that I want to discuss in a moment. But at this point, I think I'm going to stop and I'm going to keep running, but stop and share some emails with you. Appreciate all the emails. One thing I'll mention, when you email me, I would appreciate putting your city, give me your first name. I don't need your last necessarily. If you want to give it, that's fine. Give me your first name. Give me your city and state and or your country, because I am getting emails from people out of the U.S. So just include that with it. And remember that if you send an email, there's a good chance I will reference that, possibly read it, depending on what the email's saying on the podcast. So let's pause here for a minute. Let me share some emails with you, and we'll be back in a bit. Let me say I appreciate all of the emails that I'm receiving. I'm beginning to get more than I can possibly respond to, but at the least, I will respond to you by return email. I promise to do that, and we'll be reading some of the emails on the podcast and responding to some of those if you are asking for a response. We will certainly do that as much as we possibly can. The first one is from Myra. Myra is a friend of mine. Thanks for letting me know about your podcast. I've been meaning to sign up for some new podcasts. I've downloaded the 20-Minute Runner and look forward to listening to the updates as I work out. Making myself exercise doesn't come very easy. I think having your podcast to look forward to shall help. It was cool hearing Sammy and you talk about your youth. I felt like I could have been sitting right there in the backyard listening to you reminisce. I hope your mother has a way to hear it. Myra, as I said, is a friend of mine, has been for years. Myra, thanks for the email. I also wanted to let you know that, yes, I am planning to burn a couple of episodes on a CD, get it to my mother next time I'm home, might drop it in the mail. When I tell her what I'm doing, I'm not sure she fully comprehends it, but she supports me anyway, so hopefully she will be able to listen to a couple. And I think episode 9, which I've received the most overwhelming response on, is certainly one of the 2 or 3 that I hope to get to her before too long. Myra also said she loved all the pictures on the blog and looks forward to checking out previous episodes if she has time. I want to let you know, and I don't think Myra would mind me saying this since you wouldn't know who she is personally, but even if you did, it would be okay, I feel. Myra is a breast cancer survivor. I've known her now for several years, and she is a trooper, great person. Myra, thanks for listening.
And even though Myra is not a runner technically, she is beginning to show me that there are those who are listening who are not necessarily runners, but they are physically fit-minded or simply interested in the topics we discuss. I like to think of the podcast as a podcast about life. Even though it is a running podcast, and I do it while mostly I'm on the run, it is more a podcast about life. And the emails I'm beginning to receive show that the interest is broad, and I am so thankful for that. And I cannot tell you again, anyone who wants to send a message of encouragement or just saying, hey, thanks for what you said or what you shared, I want to let you know I thank you for being there and for listening and for letting me hear. Myra, thanks for the email. I also got an email from Scott. Scott is my brother. He lives in Tennessee. Scott's younger than me, and he simply said he was enjoying all the podcasts and told me at the very end, love you, bro. Well, Scott, I love you back, and I appreciate you listening. I hope by the time you hear this on episode 10 that I will have called you. If I have not, you scold me, call me, whatever, but I hope to connect with you maybe this week. But Scott is one of my four brothers, and over in Tennessee, we all live in North Carolina, but Scott, and Scott, it's good to hear from you, brother, and I hope things are going well with you. And again, thanks for the email. And then I have one more from David Yelland in Penryn Bay near Llandudno in Conwy, North Wales in the United Kingdom. David, if I slaughtered the name of where you're from, please forgive me, but I do appreciate your email so much. David's actually sent me a couple of responses as I've responded back to him. So let me just read that. Hi, Roland. I'd just like to thank you for your podcast. Your easy style is great on the run. The music's good as well. I'm a new runner as of the January 1st this year, and I've been caught by the running bug. I've only done three races so far. Only three? Two 10Ks and one half marathon. I'm currently training for the two half marathons I have planned in September and October. I would be very interested in your thoughts about training speed. I did my half marathon in 1 hour 56 minutes, but I'd like to break 1 hour 50 minutes by September. This means a pace of 8:25. How fast do you think I should be doing my long runs? I currently find it very hard not to run at 9-minute pace. I'd be grateful for any help you could give me with this. A little of my history is that I arose from the, quote, couch of doom, end quote, and David says to credit Steve Runner for that phrase, of course. He arose from the couch of doom about 3 years ago. I was 260 pounds and was likely to need a heart valve replacement operation in the near future. With the encouragement of my wife, I bought a bike for $50, started riding a short distance every day. I built this up over the last 2 years, and I have lost 80 pounds. Congratulations, David. I no longer need the operation for the foreseeable future, and I feel really alive like when I was 17. That's great. I don't know how old David is, but if we can all feel like we're 17 again, that's wonderful. December last year, I decided the winter weather was too wet to ride. I'm sure it's that way in the UK, David. So I thought I'd take up running. Since then, I've run just less than 500 miles. Now all I have is personal bests to improve and 50 years in which to do it. Then he says, I have something to confess. I'm a mono runner. My wife thinks I look like a cross between a sausage and a monkey when I run. And I find it really hard to run anything other than 9-minute pace on an easy run. Seriously, I try to run my easy runs at about 9 to 9:30 pace. I'm pushing my tempo runs up to 8:30 for 3 miles, and I do weekly runs with two intervals of 1 mile at sub 8-minute pace with half-mile recoveries. I did have a breakthrough run yesterday, though. Yesterday was my weekly long run, but not having done a race simulation for a while, I thought I might rev it up a bit. I went out feeling pretty easy, but I decided to take some sports legs tabs 1 hour before I left. I've used these before for my bike rides, and they've worked pretty well. I also used some caffeine tablets in my sports drink. Not a lot, just four. I don't normally use these unless it's a race, but I thought they might give me problems with sports legs. So, looking at the results, I went from, I believe this would be an 88 minute 30 second personal best on this route to 83 minutes 53 seconds. That's an 8:30 average pace. On that basis, I should be doing a sub 150 half marathon. This is my current target. My current race is the Angelsley half marathon on 20th September, but there are also a few other halves, one in early November, another in early October. I just don't want to injure myself in my first year. Just listened to your podcast about your brother. You inspired me to call my brother. It was nice to talk. And David says he's looking forward to all the future episodes. David, I think you're doing great, and I want to address your question, a couple of comments I'll make about that here in just a few minutes. So we'll be back in a couple minutes to respond to David's email, and we will wrap things up at that point.
You gotta play with passion in three different ways. Move fast, be dashing, enjoy life's glory days. Wake up every day with a fire in your eyes, and get up off the deck and give it another try. And don't ever forget the heart of the champion, champion. You gotta run into the sun with the heart of a champion,
heart of a champion,
heart of a champion,
number one.
One heart beating
others that I've received, but can't share them all. But David, thanks for the email. Let me say I'm very impressed with your rise from the couch of doom.
as Steve Runner over at Fidipidations likes to call it. I'm very impressed with that. And keep it up. But very impressive that you were able to get up from there. And to answer your question, or a couple questions you bring up, you were already well on the way, it seems to me. What I can offer you is some fairly general advice, but yet I think it's good advice. It's advice that I follow. That doesn't mean it's good, but generally speaking, it's advice that I follow, and it's advice that works well. And so I want to share that with you. You said in your email you didn't want to get injured. Being fairly new to the sport, what, 7-8 months now, you're still in that early stage. And even though you may be running consistent miles, you haven't built that base yet that you hear so many runners talk about. And we need to get you going with that. So there's some things I would mention to prevent injury, and then we'll address another issue you brought up. Number one, I would recommend just one target race. In your email, I think you basically said you were going to do two, and you implied there might be more than that. I'm talking about half marathons in the fall. I would limit that to one target race. A couple of reasons. Number one, if you don't, you're more prone to injury. And number two, if you don't, then you might do well, fairly well at each of the races, but you won't have that one push where you're trying to achieve your PR, which I believe is to break 150. So I would say just bring it down to one target race. Cross train. I ride a bike. Getting into now doing a couple of days a week, 45 minutes on the bicycle. Okay? You don't need to ride a bike necessarily. I need to turn around. But you do need to do some type of cross training. And I'm not talking strength here. I'm talking cardio. During that cross training, you need to mimic the effects of running, even if it's slow miles. But whatever you're doing, biking for instance, even a stationary bike, which you do bike. When you said you were a mono runner, did that mean you only do one thing? Maybe you need to get on that bike a couple days a week and just begin by riding 30 minutes, 45 minutes easy, and build up 45 minutes at a moderate pace. That will strengthen muscles that running does not strengthen, particularly your quads, and helps balance out those muscles, the major muscle groups in your legs, keep from getting injured. Third thing I would make sure that I'm doing is rest days. And I'm not talking about passive rest, not passive, active rest. Cross training to me, while that's a good thing, cross training is not what I'm referring to here. At the minimum, take one day a week of no running at all. You may already be doing that. And at the most, if you're like me, take a couple or 3 days with no running at all. And then, of course, I do 3 days running, a couple cross training, as I mentioned, but you need those rest days. I would recommend incorporating a cycle similar to what I've been doing, which I referenced earlier in this podcast, and I have referenced in the past. Basically, mine is a monthly deal where I build up, and then I cut it back half to two-thirds for 1 week, build up again, cut it back, build up again, cut it back. You can actually incorporate that into your half marathon training. You'll be absolutely amazed how much the rest will help you as well. So I would look into that, and if you want to know more about what I do, I'll get back to you with an email. If you need that, let me know. Taper the last week of your race, the last 10 days. I think if it were me, I wouldn't run over 10 miles within the last 10 days of the race. But my long run and what I'm planning to do, I'm running a half in the fall, as you know. I want my long run to be up to 250 2.5 hours, which for me is going to be 15 miles, 16 miles, something like that. As you build that up, that's great. But 7 to 10 days before your half taper, and again, I know I'm being sort of general here, but I can't tell you specifically perhaps what you should do, but I think these will help. And I would not run the day before the race, and I would even consider not running the second day before the race, or a couple of easy miles, or cross training. You want to make sure you're well rested, and if you do the work, a couple of days, my experience, is going to be a tremendous help. You'll find yourself fresh, find yourself ready to go on race day. So rest is important, and tapering, as I said. Work your schedule back from 10 weeks. You need to give yourself 10 weeks to train for the half. And if you're like me, I'm more or less running the miles I need to now, but I need to increase my long run a bit. I want to start adding some speed work. And if you'll go on the internet to my post for this week, I will include a link to the half marathon training program that I'll be using with some slight modifications. And maybe that'll be helpful to you as well. But give yourself 10 weeks. Go to the post, look that up, see if it's helpful. You're already doing a lot of the things that you need to be doing. You talk about the intervals and you talk about all those things. That's great. Keep that up. Another thing you need to be doing if you're not is strength training. For me, I don't use weights, but I do push-ups, sit-ups. I have the exercise ball where I do the lunges using the ball. And then I also do shin exercises with it. And then I put the ball behind my back and lift up from between my feet. I do 35 of those to work the muscles in my arms that the push-ups don't get. Let me tell you, core work, arm work. We think when we run, all we use are our legs. That's true, but late in a race, that core, the abs, things like that, and the upper body, shoulder, arms, that strength is going to benefit you tremendously. So don't skimp out on strength training. Now, it doesn't have to be what I do. Mine's pretty lame compared to some. But whatever works is the main thing. Be consistent. I will do that 2 to 3 days a week. Your long run. You ask about the pace of that. I would recommend getting 13 to 15 miles in for your long run at least twice before your race. And if you're needing to average 8:30, you want to run your long run 1 minute slower than that pace. Now that's hard, but that means you need to be running about a 9:30 for your long run. Excuse me. Whew, time for a water break. Keep up the tempo runs. You should do great on race day, I think. You should PR if you'll do those things. Caffeine on race day, a definite yes. It works for me. You are working with some caffeine. You may have heard me say I like the extreme beans from Jelly Belly. I also use honey stingers. I haven't tried the honey stingers with caffeine, but I'm going to try that. One thing about it, caffeine, and I come across this recently, you don't want to use caffeine too much as far as regularity because your body can build up more of a tolerance. Now, I'm a coffee drinker, and I find on race morning, an hour before the race, a good stout cup of fresh ground brewed coffee definitely helps. Beans, gels, all that will do the same. I would recommend using caffeine on race day because it seems to be very beneficial. And then I know that I'm needing to wrap this up. A couple other things I just want to mention. Have fun and run relaxed. Start at your race pace and run negative splits if you can. Don't start out too fast if you're wanting to PR that day. Seems like that's just the opposite of what you would want to do, but it's not. Begin slow. I would say at your race pace, 8:30. If you're comfortable and you do this training, you should be. Gradually increase it. After 5 miles, assess yourself. 10 miles, etc. And you may come in under 8:30 a mile, which would give you your PR. And then let me know how you do. I want to give our listeners an update. So after your race, that one goal race, which I recommend, shoot me an email, David. We'll share how you did on the program. I know I didn't give a lot of specifics about speed work and all, but it sounds like you're well on the way from your email already with that. I told you one more thing I want to mention. Running doesn't just give us a better mental state or physical state, but it helps us with weight loss and management. And the reason I want to close with this is because David lost 80 pounds. David, that is phenomenal. 10 pounds lowers your blood pressure, and just 10 pounds can affect your cholesterol levels. I know for some people that's not true, but if you have a problem with cholesterol, and no matter what you do, you need meds, that's fine. But it can affect your weight loss, your cholesterol, just 10 pounds. And then, David, I just want to say, running has helped me to not only lose weight, but maintain weight. I might not do it, but I'm thinking seriously of putting up a picture of the old me when I weighed, I hate to even say this, don't tell anybody, I weighed 191 pounds at 5'4½". Well, David, I'm pleased to announce, as of today, I'm around 133, 134, and I've been able to maintain my weight for a long time. I went back up when I stopped running, not a lot, but a little, lost it when I started back. Running helps me maintain it, especially some faster running and some, you know, enough miles to really benefit. But not only does it help us mentally and physically with the things I described physically, but it does help us to manage and lose weight, and that definitely is a good thing. But I want to tell you today, even if you're carrying a few extra pounds, if you're out running, remember, you're a champion. You are a warrior. As we talked about earlier in the show, whether you are just starting training or you're training for your first half, like me or David, or your first marathon, or you're just setting your foot out the door, I want you to know you're a champion. You've got the heart of a champion. You need to feel good about yourself. Keep it up. All right. If you want to email me, my email is 20minuterunner@gmail.com. Go to my post, which will be mentioned in a minute in the closing notes, my blog. There's an email link from there. Check out the blog, look around, take the survey, send me an email. You don't have to ask me a question. Just let me know if something we said has helped you. Or if you have a question about anything, send me that as well. And while I'm not a professional, I will do my best to research it. And as a mid-pack runner, I'll tell you what I think. And you can take what's good and what's not good, throw it to the side. But hey, I really appreciate you listening. Without you here, I probably wouldn't be doing this. But because I know that many people are listening, I'm enjoying it. And it's a great feeling to be a part of the running community. So you guys hang in there. Get up. Go running. Because remember, there's somebody out there that can't. You have a great week. I look forward to talking to you in about 7 days. This is Roland. Thanks for joining me today. See you later. Bye-bye. Thank you.
listening to the 20 Minute Runner podcast. Check out my blog at the20minuterunner.blogspot.com. You can find information about items mentioned in this podcast in the show notes at the blog, along with information about the music used in this episode. All music used in the 20 Minute Runner podcast is protected under a Creative Commons license. Some of the music provided is from Mevio's Music Alley. Check it out at music.mevio.com. The opening and closing tracks are from jamendo.com. At the blog, you can subscribe to the podcast with iTunes or your favorite podcatcher or feed reader. You can leave a comment or send me an email. I truly hope to hear from you and want to know your thoughts about the program. Let me know what you think. I've really enjoyed sharing with you this week, and I look forward to running with you next time, and I trust that your training is going well. Thanks for sharing some of the road with me. My name is Roland, and I am the 20 Minute Runner.